Bienvenidos a estas lecciones bíblicas sobre el Antiguo Testamento. En estas lecciones cubriremos la magnífica creación de Dios de todas las cosas, incluyendo la creación del hombre, la corona de la creación de Dios, seguida por la caída del hombre en el paraíso y las consecuencias que eso trajo al mundo. En las siguientes lecciones enseñaremos cómo Dios visitó al hombre con la revelación de su pacto de gracia. Cuando viajemos juntos a través de todo el Antiguo Testamento, veremos a Dios visitando a su nación de Israel con revelaciones de este pacto de gracia, apuntando constantemente al Mesías venidero, al Señor Jesucristo. Esperamos que estas lecciones sean de bendición. Gracias.
David is now king over all Israel. In our last lesson, we considered how David conquered Jerusalem, which was then called the City of David. We read how David was able to build a house from the material that Hiram, king of Tyre, had sent to David as a gift. We also saw how David took more wives. In 1 Chronicles 15, the author relates how David built more houses, presumably for his wives and his extended family, as was the custom during this time. Now David is settling in, so to speak. He is clearly established as king. He has multiple wives and children, and he essentially has a royal palace. Now what? What is left for him to do? Is there something missing? Let's read verse 1 together. And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. David has not forgotten about the ark of the Lord. We should not think that he was putting himself first by taking care of his houses and family before he dealt with the ark, but rather, he did not receive any clear direction about what he should do with it and when he should move it. Do you remember what happened the last time the ark was moved? Do you remember when Uzzah reached out to steady the ark when the oxen cart suddenly lurched? Uzzah died because he touched the ark, and he was not authorized to do so.
Mientras David hace los preparativos para mover el arca, él dice que nadie más que los levitas pueden llevar el arca. Ellos son los únicos a los que Dios ha ordenado llevar el arca.
David dice, they are the ones that Jehovah, the covenant God, has chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. David has a new tent set up for the ark's new location, and he gets everyone together in preparation for its transfer. We read that David gathered all Israel to Jerusalem, and in particular, the Levites. The families are listed in verses 4 through 10, and total over 800 Levites in particular. David also calls some specific priests, the chief fathers of the Levites, and commands them to sanctify themselves so that they can bring the ark up properly. David recognizes one of the mistakes they made the last time they tried to move the ark. He says, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. David is alluding to what happened to Uzzah. He recognizes that not following the proper procedure for moving the holy ark of the Lord was at least in part the reason for Uzzah's death. Once the priests and the Levites were sanctified, that is, properly cleansed according to the ceremonial laws, they were now prepared to actually move the ark. According to the law of Moses, they carried the ark on their shoulders, using the wooden bars that went through the hoops on the side of the ark. But there is more to this procession than just the men carrying the ark of the Lord. Since this is meant to be a joyful celebration to praise the Lord, there will also be music. In verses 16 through 25, we are given not only the types of instruments that are being used, but also the names of the leading singers and musicians. And so they go to Obed-Edom's house and bring the Ark of the Lord out with great joy. In verse 28, we read, "Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps." All of Israel must have rejoiced and joined in the praise, or did they? Chapter 15 termina con una nota muy triste. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. David's own wife seems to want no part in the celebration.
Cuando ella ve a su esposo saltando y danzando para alabar al Señor, cualquier amor que ella pudiera haber tenido en su corazón se convirtió en odio. Leemos en 2 Samuel 6 cómo Mical confronta a David por su comportamiento. David reitera que lo que estaba haciendo era para alabar a Dios. Y como Mical no pudo unirse a esa alabanza, David jura no tener hijos con ella. Si Dios no ha obrado en nuestro corazón, entonces nosotros también despreciaremos en secreto a los demás cuando los veamos regocijarse en el Señor. Este relato es un recordatorio para que nosotros examinemos nuestro corazón delante del Señor. El capítulo 16 describe los numerosos holocaustos y sacrificios de paz que se entregaron al Señor en acción de gracias.
David también entrega regalos al pueblo como parte de esta increíble celebración. Repartió pan, carne y tortas de paso a cada familia. Following that, David delivers an amazing psalm to thank the Lord. Take time to carefully read this psalm in verses 7 through 36. Now that the ark is in Jerusalem, the priests will continue with the daily sacrifices as well, and these daily offerings will be made as in former times. The ark of the Lord has been safely brought to Jerusalem. David has a beautiful house made of cedar and stone, and Israel is at peace. What could be better? There is still something missing. Do you know what it is? David is uncomfortable about something. He shares his thoughts with Nathan. He tells him that something just does not seem fair or right. Here David is sitting in a beautiful house with cut stone walls and cedar boards, and the ark of the Lord is in a tent. David wants something better than that. And Nathan gives his approval. He basically tells David to do whatever he wants to rectify the situation. No doubt, David begins formulating plans in his head for a magnificent temple. But our ways and plans are not always the Lord's, and the same is true here. God speaks to Nathan that night and tells him to tell David that it will not be David who is going to build the temple, but one of David's future sons. God says he
Él me edificará casa y yo afirmaré para siempre su trono. Yo le seré por padre y él me será por hijo. No apartaré de él mi misericordia como la aparté de aquel que fue antes de ti. Yo lo confirmaré en mi casa y en mi reino eternamente, y su trono será estable para siempre. Nosotros sabemos que esto se refiere a Salomón, pero ¿reconoces algo más?
Estos versículos también contienen profecías o promesas mesiánicas.
Solo Cristo reinará para siempre. Cuando Natán le cuenta a David todo lo que el Señor le ha dicho, ¿acaso él se enoja o se molesta porque sus planes han sido rechazados? Todo lo contrario, David se humilla. En lugar de protestar, él dice:
Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Again, what an important lesson for us to remember when things do not appear to be going our way. May we remember to always prayerfully and humbly submit to God's will.
Después de esto, David continuó conquistando enemigos y expandiendo su reino. Primero, él tomó el territorio de Gath y las aldeas alrededor de los filisteos. Luego derrotó a los moabitas y ellos se convirtieron en siervos de David.
They became tributarios, por lo que tendrían que pagar impuestos anuales a David como rey. The next territory David takes David is King Hadarezer's in the area of Damascus. De la zona de Damasco. He also confiscates thousands of chariots junto con los caballos y miles de soldados. The Syrians, who are relatively nearby, hear about David's attack and attempt to help King Hadarezer. They are utterly unsuccessful, as David and his army seriously wound or killed over 20,000 of the Syrian army. They also become David's servants and have to pay him tribute. Furthermore, David uses this conquered area to put garrisons or army posts, which will be used to protect the kingdom of Israel from any future attacks from this general direction in the northern part of the kingdom. All of the spoil from these battles, the gold and other valuables, David brings to Jerusalem and dedicates it to the Lord. Solomon would later use some of these spoils to make the temple vessels. We read in verses 13 and 14 that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. So David reigned over all Israel and executed judgment and justice among the people. Chapter 19 gives us just a little more detail about some of the events we already looked at in chapter 18. Some details include what transpired between David and the Ammonites. According to Jewish tradition, the Ammonites were related to the children of Israel as descendants of Lot. That may be why when Nahash, king of Ammon, died, David deseó mostrar algo de bondad y consuelo hacia Hanun, el hijo de Nahash. David envía varios mensajeros para expresar sus condolencias a Hanun. Pero algunos de los príncipes sospechan. Ellos le advierten a Hanun que esto no es compasión genuina, sino más bien una inteligente estratagema para espiar la tierra y ver cuál es la fuerza y capacidad militar de los amonitas. Entonces, en lugar de aceptar su simpatía, recompensan la bondad de David con vergüenza. They shaved half the men's beards and also cut their garments so that part of their backside is exposed and then send them away, completely humiliated. David's men were so ashamed, they did not want to be seen by any of the other Israelites, so David comes to meet them. He tells them to wait at Jericho until their beards have grown back and then return. So this is the backdrop for the battles that David had with Hadarezer and the Syrians. David is ultimately victorious over his enemies,
sobre sus enemigos,
and the Lord continues
continúa ayudándolo y prosperando
and prosper
su camino.
His way. We can glean
de estas historias podemos extraer
through
algunas lecciones importantes.
One is that
una de ellas
God
es que Dios siempre tiene el control. Es el
It
Señor
is the Lord
quien levanta gobernantes como mejor le parece
fit,
y también destrona gobernantes según su voluntad y beneplácito. También vemos cómo Dios es fiel a su pueblo del pacto. Ni David ni Israel merecían las bendiciones que recibieron, pero Dios los ayudó continuamente a conquistar a sus enemigos para que el reino de David se estableciera firmemente.
Matthew
Henry establece un paralelismo entre el conflicto de David y sus enemigos con el conflicto de los pecadores en general y Dios. Esto fue lo que escribió. La única seguridad de los pecadores consiste en someterse al Señor, buscar estar en paz con Él y convertirse en sus siervos. Ayudémonos unos a otros en esta buena causa. Pero temamos que habiendo sido instrumentos de bien para otros, nosotros nos quedemos lejos de la salvación por la incredulidad y el pecado.